Our scripture today will be from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 23 to 29. Let's pray before we read this. Lord, we thank you for your love and your care. We thank you for your grace shown in this moment where you share to us your word. We pray that in reading your word together, Lord, we pray that our eyes, our hearts are open to things that we may not have seen before, that we might be challenged or encouraged as we are needed to. We thank you for your presence this day and that you are guiding us in these moments. Lord, take us and use us. And we pray also for an act of mercy in the preaching of your word. May it too be used for your glory. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 14, 23 to 29. Hear now God's word. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." There we go. It's generosity. John 14 is very, very popular scripture. It's read quite a lot, especially at funerals. I read snippets of John 14, little pieces here and there, for the first 7 years of ministry, not here, but I mean of my ministry. I read exclusively John 14 all the time. Could never recite it completely, always had to read it, but it was very powerful message in John 14. And as is important with any scripture that we read, knowing the context helps to unlock a little bit of the scripture for us. In the Gospel of John, there's two layers of context which we have to keep in mind, which we should keep in mind. The first layer of context is who the letter of John is being written to. John is being written to early Christians everywhere, both Jews and Gentiles. John's a bit different than the other Gospels, where Matthew, Mark, and Luke are quite similar. In fact, they're called synoptic, which means similar. John, on the other hand, is unique. John stresses, above all the other Gospels, Jesus' kingship, his messiahship, his Christhood, the fact that he is God's Son. More than any other book, John stresses this above all else. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was with God in the big beginning." Later, John goes to say that Word was made flesh, and that Word is Jesus. So, for John, Jesus wasn't created from the beginning, or wasn't created when he was born. Jesus is begotten, always from God, from the very start. It's important to remember. Now, the second layer of context here in John 14 is, where are we? We're in one of the very last teachings of Jesus to his disciples. He told his disciples that he would be dead soon, raised from the dead, and then leave. Basically, he's telling the disciples very soon there's going to be a transition. And that transition is going to be from me, my teachings, which are God's teachings, to you. You will be then the ones who are teaching. Now, transitions are not Well, for one, they're extremely common. For another, they're not always very easy. How many people have experienced transitions in your life? Nobody? You're the same from when you were 2? Pretty much. You know, my humor hasn't changed from 12, so I think I got stuck there. But truth is even if Robert and Emily's newborn baby was here with us, he would have to raise his hand because he just went through an amazing transition from into the womb to out of the womb. Do you think he liked it? I'm sure his crying would probably say no, that was not a very good transition for him, or a very comfortable transition. They're hard. And you know what? No matter how old you are or how young you are, transitions can be quite difficult. I got home last night at 12:30 at night, in the morning, and because I was picking up Mohaned from prom. He was at prom. He's a senior this year, and he went to his senior prom at Greensburg Central Catholic. And he said, you know, the prom was really weird. He said that the Christmas dance, which, you know, in some ways is similar to a prom, everyone got together and everyone had a lot of fun and it was enjoyable and the friends had fun and there was a lot of laughing and all this. He said, but the prom was different. He says it was tense. People were bickering with one another and fighting one another. And he said, you know, the prom really drove home that this is the last time this group of people will be together in this way. That for the seniors, the great time of transition is coming. That they will go off to their own groups, they'll do their own things, they'll go to their own schools. And he says that tension was felt during that dance. Transitions are everywhere. And you may be going through a transition right now that we don't know about. It might be hard. It might be joyful. It might be something you look forward to, and it might not. As a church, together, we're going through a transition. The United Methodist Church is having great trouble of its own. And in 2 years, we might be separated. In 50 years, we may still be together. I don't know. But just that unknowing is part of almost every transition. There's an old saying, I don't know how appropriate it is for church, but I'm going to say it anyway. It is, and you know this saying, the devil you know is preferred to the devil you don't. You ever hear that saying? What that saying, I see some nods, I see some shaking of the head. What that saying means is that oftentimes in our lives we have to choose between something we already know and something we don't. And sometimes it's hard to choose that something we don't know, even though the something we do know is so terrible, at least we know it. We know what to expect, we know how to live in it, and we don't want to move to the other thing because it might be far worse. It might be far better, but who are we to take that chance? Transitions are a scary prospect. And Jesus with his disciples are at that edge of a transition. Jesus knew he was leaving. Jesus knew he wouldn't be there with his disciples anymore, but that the ministry had to continue, so they were going to have to take the reins. So he preached to them this message, telling them, love me. And you can tell those who love me because they will obey me. He goes on to say that even though I will leave, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will be with you. My presence will be with you in some capacity, but it will be different. It won't be how you expected. But you can trust in me. You can know that I will still be walking along with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I love this scripture because at the crux of a transition, peace is something we all desire, because what's it going to look like? What's it going to be like? Where are we going to go? How are we going to live? Sometimes the heart keeps going and the mind keeps going, and you go to sleep but the mind won't shut off. Peace is so hard to find. It's such a necessary commodity in our lives, and yet it's so hard to grab. But Jesus says to us, He gives us peace. Not as the world gives. I love this little piece of difference here. We know how the world gives. It's not always something you can count on. The world sometimes gives you something and takes it away immediately. The world sometimes promises you something and doesn't deliver on that promise. The world sometimes gives you something that it said it would deliver, and it did, but it's not as wonderful as you thought it was. In fact, it's pretty awful. We can't count on the things that the world gives us. But in 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 20, Paul says to the early church, he says, what's he say? All the promises in God are yes through Jesus Christ. And we can speak amen to God's glory. Which means if Jesus says it, and if God says it, it is so. If God says, I have tomorrow, it is so. This world, we can't live it without going through transitions. We don't always know what those transitions are going to bring. But through these words that He gave His disciples, we too can learn from these and know that Christ will be with us during those transitions. That we will be able to get through them, and we will be able to proclaim Christ's name on the other side of them. Trust God through your transitions. Trust God that God's got this, and that we'll be okay, whatever that might look like. I praise God that Jesus has our back. Close with this prayer. Thank you, God, for this new day that you give me to live in faith. Do not know everything that will come, but you know. And I rest in your care, and I move on. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Go in peace.